The Philippines has a wet season and a dry season, or so the saying goes. Given the predictability of summer in particular, what measures can Filipinos take to protect themselves from the heat? In this B-side episode, I speak with Dr. Albert Domingo, the spokesperson for the Department of Health, on heat-related illnesses and how to recognize the symptoms for each. Hello, I'm Patricia Mirasol, and I'm a multimedia producer at Business World. I am with the Department of Health spokesperson, Dr. Albert Domingo, for a discussion on the best ways to prevent, spot, and combat heat-related illnesses. Welcome, Dr. Domingo.
Thank you so much, Patricia.
What are heat-related illnesses, for the record?
There are three kinds of heat-related illnesses. They are all part of a spectrum. The first one is your heat cramps, and heat cramps would be characterized by abdominal cramps, also sometimes lower extremity or leg cramps. The body is essentially responding to its inability to thermoregulate given high temperatures and high humidity. After heat cramps, you can also have heat exhaustion. Heat exhaustion happens when the body feels tired, extra tired, more than the usual, and it is always in the context of being in a hot and or humid area. Then the third would be your heat stroke, which is the toughest of all of the three, because with heat stroke, you could lose consciousness, again, due to an inability to thermoregulate. Across these three things, one other problem that is also common would be your dehydration, because the lack of fluid can also result in the symptoms that we just mentioned.
You mentioned earlier that dehydration is also one contributor to heat-related illnesses, or rather, it can also exacerbate one's risk for such illnesses. What other signs should we look out for when it comes to these three?
It's mostly as mentioned, Patricia. The unique thing about these heat-related illnesses, they are serious, but the symptoms and the prevention are quite simple. It's really about the body being unable to thermoregulate. It's the same across all areas, across all kinds of presentations. It's about the lack of fluid, the inability to thermoregulate, which manifests in, shall we say, mental state changes, as with the heat stroke where you could lose consciousness. The extreme heat could be a factor in many other diseases. There are what we call heat-influenced diseases. If you ask me personally, it gets quite confusing because what's the difference between heat-related and heat-influenced? In so far as the strict epidemiologic terms are concerned, the heat-related illnesses are the ones I already mentioned: heat cramps, heat exhaustion, and heat stroke. But you do have heat-influenced illnesses or heat-influenced cases, like, for example, you could have a heart attack, a higher chance of a heart attack under this heat index prevailing over the country right now, because the physiologic stress or the amount of heat stress being applied to the body is sufficient to actually increase our blood pressure more than the normal. That could lead to a higher chance of a heart attack.
So, is this one of the risks of not paying attention to the symptoms, like cramps or, you know, thirst? If we don't pay attention to these symptoms, can it lead to other complications? If so, what other complications are there?
That is correct. Now, the challenge, Patricia, when it comes to, you mentioned, I like how you framed the question, paying attention to the symptoms. In your average working age, shall we say, physically fit, or even not physically fit, but at least physically able individual, it would be easy for us to notice the symptoms. Typically, I feel thirsty, I feel tired, I feel cramps, etc. But the challenge lies in that segment of the population or segments of the population where you could have elderly individuals whose bodies are no longer accustomed to the rapid changes in temperature, and they might misinterpret this as, I just feel sleepy because I'm old already, or I feel tired, or I don't feel thirsty, this is common, I can always drink later. And then it could lead to dehydration because there is a wrong signal being received by the body. Or in the younger kids, notice how we would say that the children would learn to avoid hot objects when they get burnt. But paraphrase that or apply that to the condition of high heat conditions. So we actually need adults to teach our kids that this is not normal, because to a kid who is experiencing his or her first summer or first episode of hot weather, and who hasn't been around for many years before this, they might think that this is normal. To us who have been around for decades, yeah, decades, because like I'm 41, so I can easily say that this is not the summer that I've been used to when I was much younger, so this is alarming. But for a youngster who is just like being a toddler around this time of a year, this is something new. So we need to actually educate our children that this is not normal, that you have to take precautions, that you have to be ready.
Talking a little bit more about remedies, I see people putting cold towels in their heads, and then there's also that belief that you can put ice cubes in your armpits. I mean, do these things, well, will these help you thermoregulate?
Yeah, the general guidance here is we do need to thermoregulate. So the use of wet towels would be acceptable. That's typically what we do when we have fever. We put wet towels on our foreheads and exactly in the areas you mentioned. Sometimes at the neck, at the armpits, essentially the areas where there are lots of skin folds. These are the areas of the body that tend to accumulate a lot of heat. As to whether to put ice cubes or not, that's really a personal choice. It's not a recommendation. Neither is it harmful. So I'll just connect it to the first aid. When we do first aid for these heat-related illnesses, that's exactly what we do. We loosen the clothing, we spray a bit of water, we put moist towels or moist, I wouldn't say rags, it should be something clean. So moist towels, moist cloths to help cool the body off.
So at what point should people go to the ER? Is it when they faint? Is it when they start to feel like they're dizzy or have other neurological symptoms or such?
Very good question, Patricia. The spectrum can transition fast. So this is really a judgment call. Our advice is, if you are not sure, it will not hurt to call for help at the first instance, especially when the patient involved is of extreme age, like extremely old or extremely young, either way, high or low. Because, for example, I did mention three stages, right? The heat cramps, heat exhaustion, heat stroke. It doesn't necessarily happen in that sequence. You can go straight to heat stroke. You can look like heat stroke, but if you're able to give first aid, you can actually prevent the loss of consciousness from happening, and then you'll just have heat cramps. So it is essential, if we are not confident, if we are not able to pace ourselves while giving first aid, the first thing to do during a rescue is to call for help. It will not hurt, and actually that's the better choice to do.
Thank you very much, Dr. Domingo. I don't have any other questions. Is there anything else you would like to share to our audience?
Sure. You did touch on it earlier. I'll just expound. So we are now in a period of high heat, and this is where health and the environment will intersect. As with many things in healthcare, often when you see a doctor in the hospital that is already at the late stage of a disease, or shall we say, something that can be prevented, all diseases can be prevented. Climate change can be prevented. And this is where we lend our voice. We doctors in the Department of Health, not just doctors, but also health workers in the Department of Health, we are lending our voice and our support to our colleagues in environment and natural resources. When they say that we need to work on the environment and we need to prevent climate change, this is it. This is the opportune time. We lend our voice also to our colleagues in the Department of Energy when they speak about looking for alternative sources of energy that does not burn fossil fuels. Why? Because fossil fuels, the consumption of fossil fuels adds to greenhouse gases that will lead later on to climate change, that will lead to what we are feeling now. So thank you for this opportunity to connect everything. It's not just about the here and now, because in a few months we will feel something different. What our PAGASA colleagues are telling us, La Nina is right around the corner. And maybe we will forget about the heat that is applied to our skin, but when the flooding starts, let's remember this is still climate change. And let's remember that health is actually a multi-sectoral thing. We need to work together.
That's a great way to end this discussion. Thank you very much, Dr. Domingo, for your time and for sharing your insights. Pay attention to your body symptoms, Dr. Domingo said. When in doubt, it won't hurt to call for assistance. This has been another episode of B-Side. Subscribe now and enjoy industry insights on Philippine business and beyond.